Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Minority Friday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Democrats about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Thank you very much. Could be our last meeting. It could not.
One never knows.
No, with the Minority Party, Senator Marianne Jordan from District 17 is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got the bags under your eyes packed as you are ready for what could be or maybe should be the final week of the session.
Well, you know, not sure yet. A lot of the discussion is the end of next week. But, you know, for us, that's a little bit both kind of glad to be wrapping up, but pretty disappointed in some of the things that might be left on the table. So,
including, for instance,
well, specifically healthcare. I think that's the biggest concern that we have. It's 6 years now since Idaho established its exchange, and actually, the governor early on was behind expanding Medicaid to try to address the gap population in Idaho, and over the years, it's just been an uphill battle to try to get the majority in the legislature to adopt some kind of a plan to help these folks out. And 6 years later, they're still in the same spot.
It was pulled a couple of weeks ago and from the floor, and it looks like in the House, and it looks like nothing may happen.
It breaks my heart. I mean, that plan, while not perfect, was something that everybody could come around and say, all right, everybody gave a little, but there's some meat to this. This is a genuine proposal, not just a small short-term, you know, pilot or something like that, and at least a start. And for something that bare bones to even struggle is very disappointing.
Somebody from Medicaid and Medicare mm-hmm. wrote to the governor. An official, and said that what Idaho is doing in the way that we are more or less ignoring the Affordable Care Act, that that's illegal and can't happen. Is that true?
Well, we got to put that in a little bit of context because that letter came as a response to an application for a waiver to allow insurance companies to sell health care plans that were not ACA compliant.
Right.
And so it was addressing that specific request. But that was something that was separate from the Idaho health care plan bill, or separate from the bill that our party tries to run every year, which is a Medicaid expansion bill to try to cover the whole gap.
Was it Idaho's last best hope?
You know, never give up, never give in. I think that there's still an opportunity to do something, but, you know, you let folks with chronic health problems go without preventive care for 6 years, and the hole gets deeper. People sure. get sicker. And the costs are so much more. That's the irony to me, because counties are required to pay up to $11,000 for catastrophic health care bills when folks have nothing and are bankrupted by health care. And then the state picks up the rest of the tab. We're seeing that CAP fund go up now because of the spike in the number of people that are uninsured. And we're, in my mind, we get to a place where we're tripping over a dollar to get to a dime.
Some dental care has been added to Medicaid.
And that was a bright spot this week. On Monday, the Senate passed a bill that began in the House. I worked with Representative Rubel on that during the session and am so grateful that we received huge bipartisan support. Preventive dental had been removed from Medicaid during the recession. Big cuts had to be made. Everybody knew that. That was something that it was thought that for a couple of years, people could go without preventive dental and not have too many catastrophic results. It was never reinstated. And so 7 years later, people are presenting in emergency rooms with massive infections and things that could be completely avoided with a basic filling and preventive care. So we were thrilled to get that reinstated and really look forward to the governor's signature on that.
They could do without it for 2 years and 7 years later.
Yeah. And again, you know, the costs associated with not doing it are so enormous. And not only that, people are in chronic pain. They present in an emergency room. Those emergency room docs are not dentists. They can't treat the tooth. So they treat the pain with opioids, and it's a terrible cycle. So this is much better for everybody.
What has occurred when it comes to breastfeeding?
Well, this was good news. Two good newses for the minority party on Monday. Under Idaho law, for many, many years, breastfeeding in public has been housed in the indecent exposure law in Idaho, which is really antiquated. And there was an attempt made many years ago to remove that, and it failed. And it was brought back this year, and I think finally saw its day and passed with unanimous support. So that was good to see. I think people have come to an understanding about the importance of feeding your children, and that it is not something that has anything to do with indecent exposure. So that was good news.
Child tax credit, where are we on that?
Well, that originated as part of the first tax cut bill that came through. And the child tax credit, this is hard to do short, but I'll try. The child tax credit in the original tax cut bill was $130 per child. Mm-hmm. That leaves families with three or more kids with having their Idaho state taxes increase because that credit is inadequate. All of our calculations tell us that the credit needs to be $287 just for people to stay level on their Idaho income tax and not pay more. So there's a new proposal to raise it from $130 to $205. It's an improvement, but it's still going to leave families with three or more kids paying more Idaho taxes because the credit's inadequate.
I'm sure you were in the Senate chambers the other day when there was a great deal of shouting going on all levels of the Capitol Rotunda. How did you feel about that student walkout?
The students, you know, they are an amazing group of people. And I've heard some kind of sad comments dismissing them as having to just want to get a day off of school. I think we dismiss these kids at our own loss because they're so bright and they're so articulate. And we tend always, you know, when you get a little older, like some of us are getting, we tend to look back on our own experience and try to compare what's going on now to when we were in school. But when we were in school, there were not school shootings. Columbine was 19 years ago. This is a generation that has been literally raised on school shootings. They don't know anything different. And they have hit a wall. And they want to see change. And they are Idaho kids who hunt and understand respect for law-abiding, you know, firearms owners, but still see an opportunity for change. And I'm excited to engage them further and see what we can do.
What's the next step, though?
You know, there's no one next step, and I think that's where we get into trouble because it gets positioned as this all-or-nothing conversation. It's either take away everything or don't do anything. And that, to me, is a false paradigm. I think there are a lot of common sense things that we can do. And it's not just about gun ownership. I mean, there's a bill working its way through the legislature now that will give law enforcement the opportunity to intervene with a perceived threat when it's off campus. Currently, if there's a perceived threat, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or wherever it shows up, if the person is not on the campus issuing the threat, there's nothing that law enforcement can do. So they're able to intervene. It's done through the juvenile justice system, so there's mental health services available. That's a positive step. That's one step. My belief is that we need to tighten background checks.
Mm-hmm.
I was really heartbroken to see that Representatives Wintrow's bill that would have taken firearms away for 2 years from people convicted of domestic abuse failed. It's pretty hard to not all agree that people who are convicted, mind you, not accused, convicted domestic abusers probably ought not to have weapons for a couple of years and maybe be able to get themselves a little bit of help.
All right. We're talking with Senator Marianne Jordan from District 17. It's 8:46.
You're listening to Minority Friday on 670 KBOI.
Marianne Jordan is our guest in our next title studio. Senator from District 17 in Boise. It is Minority Friday on Idaho Talks Live. And there's a new proposal out there. I was just reading about this yesterday that would increase reporting requirements for abortion providers in Idaho. And I guess it's headed to the governor's desk. Some personal information from women getting abortions is already collected by law. But this would add the woman's age and race and how many children she already has and how many abortions that she's had in the past. Some of the people have said that's too invasive.
Well, not only does it, the real requirement is to report what a doctor might perceive to be a side effect of an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no time limit on this. And there's this laundry list of potential side effects that the doctor would be required to look for, up to and including cardiac arrest and other things that literally under this law, if a woman had had an abortion and 20 years later had a heart event, the doctor might be expected to tie those two things together. And there's no other surgery on the books anywhere where post-surgically side effects are required to be reported. And so this was a very interesting debate on the Senate floor because these topics tend to fall on party lines. And the vote on this was 21 to 14. Eight Republicans also voted against this bill, and their reasons were really what the same as ours were, was that this was really government overreach in terms of reporting. That to try to gather this information specifically for one group of people is just going too far. And so, we were really pleased that the discussion landed where it did, because honestly, there are a lot of bills and people have their beliefs on this issue. And I respect everyone's beliefs and am not going to argue either way on that. But this is a reporting bill. And it is something that our belief is it went way too far.
Do you see anything? Okay, let me rephrase that. What is the one thing you would like to see done before Sine Die?
I'm coming back to healthcare. I just don't see why we haven't done that. Let me give you the math on this. This is an easy one. The Idaho healthcare plan that the governor proposed, it was going to move some chronically ill folks from private insurance to Medicaid, and that would help bring down private insurance costs to help mm-hmm. everyone else whose premiums have gone up. Okay, that's a population of about 3,500 people, right? That was going to cost $29 million at a 29% to 79% state federal match. $42 million at a state federal match of 10% and 90% expands Medicaid for the entire 78,000 people in the gap. It brings the CAT funds practically down to zero because they're not required anymore, which is already about $25 million. We had to add another 10 this year because they've spiked so high. So we're spending more now to have no health care for people in the gap than we would spend to close it. And that would be, if I could wave my magic wand and have my one dream thing, that would be the one.
This is probably impossible to answer.
Sure, thanks.
Well, I know that if you decide to vote on a veto override, that you'll end up staying an extra week or so. Do you foresee any bills right now that have been passed that may be vetoed?
You know, I don't know that. That's really a question appropriately for the governor or his staff. I will say that it's very interesting that last year when we had the whole dust up over sales tax on groceries mm-hmm. that resulted in the lawsuit, and the court said that we've got to be there that 5 days to give the governor the opportunity. I wasn't a fan of how the whole process unfolded, but that result to me, I think, is a fair one, because it's always troubled me that we could adjourn Sine Die and leave, and then bills could be vetoed and there'd be no opportunity to complete the legislative process and have the opportunity to either override or not. So that 5 days leaves us with that opportunity should it arise, or should the need arise, really, not an opportunity. Poor choice of words on a tired Friday, sorry. And, so it'll be interesting to go through the first session with that new rule in place.
State Board of Education voted unanimously to stick with a plan to develop a new statewide reading assessment. How do you feel about that vote? And how do you feel about the reading assessment?
Well, there's a kind of a division about the reading assessment. There are some who feel that the reading assessment should be a statewide assessment and a new bill to make it county by county or district by district. So we'll have to wait and see how that unfolds in the final week.
Senator, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Marianne Jordan from District 17.
News break coming up, followed by Open Phones Friday from 9 till 10.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, 9:06, open phones Friday. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind today, 208-338-3700. That's 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-KBOI, 1-800-529-5264.
I get some interesting instant messages. This one just came in about 3 minutes ago from Mark in Boise. And he says, can anybody call Uber? How does Uber work, not for the driver, but for the passenger? So apparently Mark needs a ride.
Mm-hmm.
You have to download an app onto your phone. And I think you probably have to be, do you have to be in PayPal as well? I'm not sure.
I think you do.
I have the app just in case I need it, and I would pay with PayPal.
Yeah, I think you can use like a debit or credit card with it.
Okay.
So.
If you want to. But yeah, I mean, they go to the app store if you have, assuming you have a cell phone. And I guess most people do, but not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, download the app. And yeah, I mean, there's not just a number you can call for Uber. It's all done on the computer.
Yep.
But what happens is you they basically pinpoint where you are and they tell you how close somebody is to you that's an Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be somebody who's like a block away. And you quickly tell them you need a ride, and if they accept, then they just come get you. And you sort of make a quick deal, and you see how much it'll cost. I'll do that for $5. Okay, come get me.
Yeah, I'm one of these deals where you don't have any I don't trust Uber. I should put it that way.
You would take a cab instead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm not really trustful of cabs either. I'm not trustful of letting anybody I'm not home. Nobody's home. Take me to the airport, then come back and rob my house. So that's kind
of course, we have a professional house-sitting service.
We do. It's called...
Things of that nature.
Yeah, two very large dogs.
I was going to say, they would bark and let you know that they're house-sitting. But it's I can't explain it very well because I've never actually used it, even though I have.
The problem with Uber is you don't always know what you're gonna.
Do you remember the situation under which I downloaded the Uber app in the first place last year?
Yeah.
Last year there were about 6 feet of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And I can't drive anymore. My eyes have gone bad.
And
so
your wife doesn't have a four-wheel drive.
And my wife does not have a four-wheel drive vehicle. So there was a possibility that she wouldn't be able to get out of the driveway and I would need to get a ride to work. And there are people apparently driving around at 4 o'clock in the morning in four-wheel drive that are working for Uber. So
yep.
As it turned out, she was able to get out of the... We had to do a little shoveling, but we got out.
We've had a lot of people who work here who have used Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And some at your, not insistence, but at your suggestion.
Yeah.
And it's worked out very well for them.
Well, and my mother, during the same time.
So part of it's just me. Folks.
Last winter, my mother was at a dentist appointment down in Twin Falls. And what's funny is if she'd have called the dentist, they would have told her not to show up that day because mm-hmm. the parking lot was just about impossible. But she drove to the dentist and got there, but couldn't get out of the parking lot because it was too icy and everything. So they called her an Uber. She didn't have to use it herself, but they called her one, and somebody picked her up and took her home, again, in a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it does. So, good. All right. Boise State women, 50 minutes away from playing top seed Louisville. That game will be broadcast on 1350 AM, and also... on ESPN, the ESPN.
Oh, okay.
So they're playing a team. What's Louisville? 31-2.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah,
they're really good.
They are really good.
Boise State, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, but
number 16 seed.
They got hosed a little bit
as opposed to number one seed. So
yeah,
I think in the women's bracket, I'm not positive about this, but I think at some point a 16 seed has beaten a one seed, but never in the men's tournament.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong about that as well. Bobby of Boise says, I wonder if there would be a bunch of hype over the turtle eating the puppy if instead it was a snake eating a puppy. I had a snake that ate everything from roaches when it was a baby to mice, rats, to eventually bunny rabbits and chickens. I never felt as though I was doing anything wrong or illegal. I was feeding my pet what it eats. I would have had no problem feeding a puppy to my snake under similar circumstances, the puppy sick and dying.
But would you invite the neighborhood children over to see it?
And I see nothing that the teacher did wrong, legally or morally.
Yeah.
See, I haven't ever weighed in on what I think of that, simply because I wouldn't want to see it. I wouldn't want it to happen. I wouldn't want to watch it. On the other hand, a sick and dying puppy, I'm not exactly what you do, but I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't feed the live puppy to anything.
No.
So that's it. Although I'm not going to judge this science teacher because science teachers do science.
There are so many.
Or they be experimenting.
So many variables in play here.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a kid in this teacher's class.
Yeah.
And he did not want to see a puppy fed to a snapping turtle.
Yeah.
And killed. He shouldn't have to see that. He should not be required to see that. If he wants to see it, if he's curious,
yeah.
I don't know. I have problems with kids who like to watch
snapping turtles things, eat puppies.
No, things die
because
they turn into Jeffrey Dahmer. You know what I'm saying?
At least one did.
Yeah. Hey, look at the refrigerator. It's full of stuff.
Is that head cheese? No, that's just a head.
That's just head, yeah.
Is that a head of lettuce? No, that's just
head.
Yeah.
So I find the whole thing creepy.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they would have a way of explaining it that would make it seem less creepy, but I didn't send Natalie to school to watch things.
Okay,
and eaten.
Had this happened and she was in class and came home
and told me about it.
And told you, what would you have done?
I would have asked her what she thought about it.
Yeah.
And if it bothered her, I would go to the school.
Okay, you would call the school, go to the school.
I would go there in person.
You would talk to them, okay.
Yeah.
Would you demand anybody be fired or anything like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just, you know.
No, you're not allowed to take
make a statement.
Firearms onto...
What?
I was just trying to interpret your miming there.
Oh.
Yeah. It felt like you were shooting someone in your mind.
Can't do that in school.
That's true.
No.
Well, in your mind you can, but don't.
KBOI, no, don't.
No.
KBOI News Time, 9:15. Give us a call. Open phones Friday.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:19. Open phones Friday. Let's find out what's on your mind. Let's go to Mark of Boise. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, Mark of Nampa.
Oh, Mark of Nampa. Good morning.
Yeah. And by the way, I think you could take your gold bars up to a place like Wallace or whatnot. I think there's still a smelter or two that would buy them from you at a reasonable price. So.
Sweet.
So now you got that. But what I'm calling about is nickels and pennies, and it's kind of an interesting thing. Since 1995 up to 2008, when the recession hit. The penny and the nickel's production costs, which is mainly the metal and, you know, wages and whatever else, you know, goes into it, you know, repairing the machinery or whatnot. The penny was costing, by 2007, was costing 2 cents to make.
So we're losing money.
Yeah, the nickel was close to a dime to make. In fact, the nickel was so high in 2006 and whatnot, they were shipping containers full of them on ships over to China where they would smelt them down and use the money because it was cheaper than mining it over there.
Wow.
And now, well, then it went down close to production costs because of the recession. You know, basic metals went down, wages never did. But up until about 2012 or whatever it is, the cost to the government was $8 billion. Now, to the government, that's chump change, no pun intended there. but now it's back up to, you know, maybe the penny dropped back down to a penny and a fifth or something, you know, in 2008 to 12 or whatever, and the nickel back down to 6 or 7 cents. But now it's fastly approaching the, it's over 2 cents now again, but the nickel's probably about seven or eight cents.
Do you have a recommendation?
I have a recommendation. Get rid of the penny. Canada has. And although people don't even like them, they just save them. I still pick them up when I see them on the ground because I'm getting paid $36 an hour. It takes me a second, so it's the 60 times 60. Yeah. I figure that's a pretty good wage. But but get rid of that. The nickel, that for 4 years now, they've been trying to figure out how to make it with steel, but steel ruins the dies that they're stamped with because it's so hard. And I'm thinking after 4 years, come up with something else, maybe an aluminum nickel, you know, that's fairly reasonable, or perhaps a, they've talked about plastics or whatnot, but you might even want to get rid of the nickel. I know in Canada, like I say, they got rid of the penny because when I was up there, they did that a number of years ago. I filled up with gas, you know, and I was digging for pennies. He says, no, they have us round it down, but we're going to get equipment.
Ooh, down, I like that.
Yeah, they round it down. And I, naturally, being a curious person, ask, how many people stop at the 4 cents? He says, just about everybody.
Get a free nickel's worth almost.
Well, yeah, sort of, which means that they'd probably make gas a little more expensive than it needs to be.
Well, their gas is crazy up there. Yeah. When it was $4 a gallon here, that's when I was up there, it was six there, but the Canadian dollar was lower. But it's also a, the imperial gallon, which is, whatever, 5 liters or some damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, I do figure that the government now, from $8 billion, we're probably up around $15 billion that it's cost. You know, and they're always looking for ways to save money, but yet there's stuff staring them in the face that they just don't want to do for some reason.
Like, good stuff.
I wonder how would we measure tire tread though?
You
wouldn't have it. Well, you'd have the dime. That's what the dime's for.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's good.
Made out of silver. Kind of.
If you can see Roosevelt's chin, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, that's it for me.
Good all stuff. Right. Thanks, Mark.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Morning.
Hey, Jim.
The other day I accused Paul Jay of not being a musicologist, and looking back on it, I realized I was insane and possessed by the devil. If I'd have been a Catholic, I would have gone to the priest and asked for absolution. So.
Boy, that's a really good opening statement by you.
Now, I wanted to mention about the libraries. Now, didn't you have a news item earlier about two extravagantly built schools?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it was Rocky Mountain and...
I think they were in West Ada.
Yeah, both of them were West Ada schools.
Well, Beter and libraries. Now, we know that a politician's job is to waste money. I mean, they consider it spending. But the big thing when the library is mentioned, they use as a defense that it was originally a warehouse. Okay, now what does that have to do with anything? If it fulfills the function of a library, the fact that it had been a warehouse means nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure at one point it was a vacant lot, but that doesn't matter either.
Right, and I've been in there, you know, nearly every day. I mean, you know, all the time. And I don't see it overcrowded. If I want a computer, I can get on the computer, and there's no line there, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't see, you know, now you ask any librarians, and actually, you know, I mean, you know, no offense to them, but they would want something like that. But I'm just saying that the fact that it had been a warehouse doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
That's basically true.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, thank you very much. very much.
Thanks, right, Jim.
Thanks. I remember when they...
I liked his little mea culpa there. That was nice.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was very polite.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break. It's 9:26. We'll see you on the other side of the news.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:36. On an Open Phones Friday, let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Hey, you remember during the election, Trump was telling us he was going to drain the swamp. Also, at the same time, he said he was really knew how to pick the best people, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could pick better people than anybody else. Well, he's got like three of them who pled guilty, two more under an indictment. They had the Tom Price who got canned for running around in jets, and then Ben Carson and his furniture, and then they escorted some guy, his body man, off the Capitol the other day for security reasons, and then he's fired about an additional 20 people that he picked. He keeps firing these people, but they're people he picked in the first place. You know, so he either doesn't know how to pick people, or he's getting rid of the people that he picked. I mean, one of the two. I don't know what's going on here. He's gone through more people. He just fired a couple people yesterday, I believe, along with Tillerson and. You know, I mean, it's just a mess. He can't seem to get good people to want to work for him.
Now, is he having more turnover than your average president?
Oh, heck yes, especially in these top positions. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, he's had about as much turnover as some presidents have in the 4 or 8 years. I mean, he's running through people. He's only been in there. Hasn't even been in there a year and a half yet.
Hmm.
And you know, I mean, of course that. Flynn, he only lasted a week, but yeah, he's running through people.
Rush Limbaugh tried to explain this the other day.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and what he's, let me see if I, hopefully I'll get this right. What Limbaugh said was since Trump had no experience with the usual suspects, whatever you want to call them, the people who most presidents have, you know, most politicians have other politicians, and they know how they think.
Oh, he had no bureaucracy.
He had no bureaucracy set up to choose from, so he chose people who were his friends. He chose people who were good in business. He chose people, for maybe the right reasons, but they didn't work out. They didn't know how to get stuff done, and plus the fact that he just can't stand it when you don't agree with him.
Yeah.
Well, the key thing there was that he chose him, and he knew how to pick the best people. He said he was going to pick people from business.
He did.
He said he was going to do all the things when he ran that Rush. It just didn't work out. I mean, so whose fault is that? You know, he still was the guy who chose him.
That's true.
Just because he was incompetent doesn't let him off the hook for choosing some bad people.
No, I'm not trying to let him off the hook. I'm just trying to explain why there's so much turnover.
Yeah, of course it was. That's one of the reasons why he shouldn't have been president, was for those very same reasons.
People have been saying for years, Rich, that we need people that aren't politicians. We need people to just be in there for 2 years and then they have to go. We need this. We need that. We got to get rid of career politicians. Well, doesn't work right away. I don't know if it'll work in the long run or not.
I don't think it'll work. Yeah, and the people who are saying that are because they're wanting the career job that the career politician now has, they can be a career politician.
Probably, yeah.
We hear that, and like we just heard some ads on your radio, and they're going after the career politician. So I don't know who it was for, but they were going after the career politician so they could become a career politician themselves. for the next 16 years. But, yeah, it's just sort of funny.
All right, good stuff.
You know, I sort of feel like if there's one thing that Donald Trump really didn't know coming into his presidency, I think it was how painfully slow government really actually moves and works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even if there's somebody at the head of the government who wants it to move faster, it's almost like, you know, the more you push, the more resistance you're going to get and the slower things are going to go.
It's like riding a bad racehorse.
And I don't think he's the first president ever to figure that out, you know, because a lot of people come into office and say, I want to get all the following things done. And then they go to Washington and they realize that, well, I'm going to hop on the back of this snail and ride it for 4 years because it's just not going to go any faster than that.
You remember when we had Governor Otter on a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he talked about his days in Congress.
Well, yeah, he said when he was in Congress,
he couldn't stand
that was pretty much his least favorite amount of time. And all the time he's been in politics, you know, whether he was in the Idaho legislature, he was lieutenant governor, he was governor for or has been governor for a while. And during that in the middle of all that, he was a congressman. And he said it moved the slowest when he was in Congress.
Couldn't get anything done. You couldn't get, crazy.
You couldn't get anything done. You couldn't get anybody to do anything.
Yeah. All right. Go to Luther. Luther, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, that's a comment of a career politician.
Mm-hmm.
And take note of that. One of the problems is, you ever play musical chairs when you were 9 years old?
Sure.
Okay, so that's what's going on. And Trump believes that if he can leave enough places empty, then the money won't get spent. Of course, we know that we've already gone in debt quite a bit in the first year, just making things good for Trump's friends. But he does not understand how to debate an issue. Every morning, we debate the issue here, and nobody gets really mad. Trump goes off like a bomb because he just can't be part of the group.
Well, he's a bit impatient, and part of that comes from, I think, having not been in government before. Like I said, he wants things to change, wants things to get done. He wants people to understand where he's going, and it's not moving.
Well, that's what they tell him to tell you.
Oh, okay.
But he himself, he has he should have never taken the job. And he's done this a lot of times where he'll take a job that at first he goes, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he'll go in there and do that, for better or worse, against his better judgment, which he never remembers.
Hmm.
Hey, we got to get the trash out. Go get them, Broncos.
Nice. I'm not sure.
I feel like he did really want to drain what he considered to be a swamp. And it's like, you know, maybe you drain all the water out of it, but you still have all the mud.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Ted. Ted.
Hey, guys. listen, God, following those two. my thought is this. Rick, he doesn't like Trump. Neither did your last caller. And coming out with all kinds of, you know, reading his mind. And, you know, and Trump's had the most turnovers. And he's lying and whatnot. Obama comes out. And I hate to do this, but Obama comes out. We're gonna have a new healthcare program that's gonna cost you less. False. You're gonna keep your doctor if you want him. False. We got to pass this legislation to know what's in it. False. He has two attorney generals that are the biggest crooks you could ever find. You know, at least Trump is saying, "Here's my team." Yes, he's inexperienced along that, but you know something? We got more jobs. We got more income. We've got less unemployment. Minority unemployment is very low and getting lower, but people hate him because it's the way he does things. Great. You know, I don't care. It's getting better. And whether he stays or not, who knows? If he stays the full 8 years, the turnover in the first year and a half is going to be nothing. So, come on, give the guy, you know, I'm not saying give him a chance because in this area, in the Boise area and on this station, you really don't, you know, you're kind of hoping that he's gone. Marianne Jordan, I wish you would have asked her why she double-dipped when she was on the city council and in the legislature. Does she support the bill that's going through there that would eliminate pensions for part-time public servants like city council people and legislators that are part-time? No, she supports it. I guess I know I'm rambling, but you got to get some of the other side of this thing, too. And thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
KBOI News Time, 947.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Got a couple minutes left in Open Phones Friday. Let's go to David of Caldwell. David, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I've been listening to you, Paul J., since you've been on the radio. One thing they say about Boise, they say growth's good. Oh, Boise's getting more liberal. You know, about Trump, it seems like the old administrations, if somebody wasn't doing their job, they'd either promote them or they'd give them another job. At least Trump, if they're not working out, he's getting rid of them.
You know, that's a pretty good point. And that's a point I don't think I've heard brought up before.
You know, every time I've been in politics or kind of followed politics, but it seems like if they're doing a crappy job, they just give them another job or they promote them to something else. But at least when Trump tells them what he wants, yeah, and if they don't do it, he just says you're gone.
Well, the callers that were kind of anti-Trump, I think the criticism that they were giving was more to the effect that he promised he knew who the best people were. And not that he's actually removing people that he doesn't think are doing the job, because I think you're supposed to do that.
Well, you know, when I worked at Micron years ago, and they'd hire people that had all this experience, they said, and we'd get them out on the job, and they wouldn't know how to do anything. And Micron had the same habit. They didn't seem to fire them. They just seemed to get them a promotion or put them somewhere else.
Yeah, whether boot them upstairs.
Yeah,
exactly.
We've all worked with people who their number one skill was being able to write a really good resume.
Yep, that's it. You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Yeah, he makes a really good point.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that the people who get fired, do most of them seem to be particularly bothered by it?
Not about 85% of them, no.
About 85% of them go, yeah, that didn't work.
Yeah, well.
And that's kind of the way business
is. Time to move on.
Yeah, that didn't work. I guess I'll...
Yeah,
go back to I was.
That's kind of the way life is.
Or find something new to do.
Yep. Gary of Emmett says, this is the way to wake up, I think, on the correct side of the bed. Gary of Emmett says, good morning, just another Friday morning, but how blessed am I getting to wake up in Idaho, in the USA? I love the people and I love the country. Cherish this morning, the day before St. Patrick's Day. Celebrate how blessed we all are to be here among the good people of Idaho. God bless us, everyone. He blessed me by bringing me here. So
have a good day, Gary.
He's already having a good day. This is fairly clear. Let's see. I got a few more here if I can get to. We're just about out of time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, now we are. David of Boise says, please ask if the Obama fine is still in effect. That's not helping me at all. So now I have no insurance and I have to pay a penalty. How in the heck is this fair? And I paraphrased that last part.
And no, it's not.
There's a lot about insurance that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, insurance as itself doesn't really seem fair.
Yeah.
They sure build buildings, though. Palaces, as it were. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.